Hello and welcome to another episode of The Thing I Love Most Show. The thing we love most is Tottenham. My name is Noel Valbon and I'm joined this week once again by Matt. Thanks for coming along, Matt.
No worries.
Big Matt in the studio. So only two of us today, but we're still going to give some insightful knowledge and analysis as always. It's always weird when you have an international break. It sort of feels like we're talking about games from so long ago.
A long time ago, yeah.
But we are going to talk about the games. And so we need to cast our mind back to the PSV match many moons ago, if you can remember it.
Yeah.
It was very similar, I thought, to the first leg or the first sort of match in the group in that PSV were pretty horrendous. We obviously made some mistakes and, we had quite a few chances, could have won by a lot more. But we left it late and we got lucky in the end, yeah. I found. I mean, it was a bit of a strange one because we were so dominant. But I was always very confident. I spoke to my friends at half-time and I was like, we're going to win. I really did think it. Admittedly, getting to about 70 minutes, I was getting a little bit less confident.
There's no money going on here, I'll tell
you
that.
Yeah, exactly. But I still thought once we scored the first goal, then the second one would come. Yeah. And so it proved. Moura played very well, then got substituted. Lots of issues with that. Lots of people sort of saying it was, you know, a bit strange that Poch should bring him off. Lots of booing, which Poch doesn't normally get, which was quite interesting. I don't know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was shown afterwards that he was injured, wasn't he? That's why it wasn't a tactical substitution. He was injured. But yeah, it's a strange one. And I think a lot of it comes down to this kind of frustration people are feeling of being at the ground, aren't they? You know, at Wembley wanting to go home. Because it's just not us, is it? We don't boo players. You know, there was that game a few weeks ago, wasn't there, where there was a lot of booing at half time, and you know, on social media people were saying you're outrageous booing the players, but it was because of a ref decision. But this was a boo towards us, wasn't it? And yeah, odd, really odd. But going back to what you were saying about the two games, yeah, we deserved to win both of them, and unfortunately we didn't win the first one. But yeah, thoroughly deserved victory. And we, like you say, we left it late, and the second goal, I mean, it wasn't originally credited to Kane, was it? But they said it was kind of off two players. It was going in off him, you know. But yeah, we left it late, but it well deserved. Yeah. We deserved it.
Yeah. I think it was just one of those ones. And like I said before on the show, I just felt they were like a championship scene. I just didn't, you know. They scored a good goal. Their set piece goal was pretty decent. Mm. We conceded again from a set piece, which obviously isn't ideal. But I thought we were pretty dominant from then on in. And now it's getting interesting in the group. Obviously, that really helped us because we were pretty much dead and buried if we'd have stayed 1-1. Got Inter coming up next week, which we'll talk about. And then obviously we've got the Barcelona game. So it's put us in a position of potential qualification. But I still think there's quite a long way to go.
Yeah, it's a slim chance, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, a slim chance is better than no chance. So
they're both not in form. Like, you know,
yeah, of course,
Barcelona lost to Betis the other day at home. Inter lost to Atlanta. Like they are, you know, they're conceding, which is important because you know, if we have one of our days where if Lloris is having a blinder and we were a bit more sure at the back, we can always score. I'm always confident we will score, and so that means you win with the chance. You know, if you've got goals in your team, then you know you can always potentially win. So
yeah, of course.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Fingers crossed. Okay, so it's time to talk about the Palace game now, because that was another one, another 1-0 victory, the fourth 1-0 victory against Palace.
Isn't it the fifth one?
Yeah. I think it was a Palace fan that tweeted, like, you know, and then it was like, oh, sorry, mate. Really good to see Foyt getting a goal, because, you know, he... in my eyes, was sort of given a bit too much criticism for the performance against Wolves. I thought he played quite well in that game. He was just unlucky with a couple of errors, which happens in the games, you know. Mm. Everyone makes mistakes. He came back really, really well. Another strong performance from Sissoko as well. So two people that at the beginning of the season you would definitely have not thought would have even been featured much in the squad are really like stepping up to the fore. Foyt once again selected for Argentina again, so he's got a uh, man the match in his belt as well against Mexico. It's incredible.
He must have just woken up the day after, thought this has just been one crazy month for me.
Yeah. So good.
You know, he's now made his Premier League debut, scored a Premier League goal, made his international debut, got man of the match in the Palace game and in his international game. It just shows you, what kind of player he is. I mean, he's obviously inexperienced, but there's something about him, isn't there? I mean, I know we spoke about him in a previous show, but I love his composure. He's a very composed centre back, isn't he? You know, and I guess inexperience kind of, if you've got that composure and that confidence on the ball, then that can kind of, you know, sometimes if you with the experience you've got, it makes up for it, doesn't it? I mean, a friend of mine mentioned the like Sanchez, for example. So he kind of put Sanchez and Foyth in a similar kind of when you look at their ability. But you've got one that we paid 8 million for and one we paid, 40 million for. So I guess Sanchez was getting the games. But I don't think Foyth really is much behind him. You know,
I think they're quite different players, I would say. I think Sanchez has got the strength and the pace, but maybe not the composure. And I think Foyth has got more of a head and he's technically better, but he's just not as strong and not as quick. Yeah. So they might actually work well together. Yeah, you know, they're probably a good combination in terms of, you know, covering and then one bringing it out from the back, because he does look more confident with the ball coming out of defence, which is what we want, especially if we play with the back four, I think. So,
and what, one's 21, one's 20, or 21, 20, one's 20.
Incredible.
It's so young,
Yeah, incredible. And it's like, you know, all across the squad, we've got these young players that are now coming through, which are really, really exciting. Mm. So you have really got decent cover, I'd say, in most positions, apart from up front, obviously, which as we know is a sore spot.
It's always going to be a problem, isn't it, with Kane?
I think apart from that, I'm still wanting to see more of Kyle Walker-Peters. I feel that he should be given some chances. Davies, for me, is just not doing enough. I know he was involved in the goal against PSV, and you know, but I just think now's the time to get Kyle Walker-Peters some experience.
Mm. He's one of those players, isn't he, as well? A bit like Foyth, where, you know, when the games he's played for us, it's almost like the inexperience doesn't come into play. You know, they're coming on. They're almost not, I'd say, the finished article, but they seem like they've been playing in the Premier League longer than what they have, especially with Foyth.
Yeah,
you know, and I think Kyle Walker-Peters is similar.
But they're going to learn from those games, aren't
they?
They're going to
learn
from those mistakes. Like Foyth would have learned massively from that Wolves game.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, that's the way to build a player's experience and confidence is to throw him in. So
yeah, of course.
Hopefully, you know, we've still got quite a few fixtures coming up now that hopefully he might even play against Arsenal, I suppose.
Cup. I wouldn't be surprised. And you mentioned as well Sissoko. I feel like the last four or five games, his performance level I worry with Sissoko that because it's an expectation thing for us, because he has been playing so poorly. If he has an average game, we're all like, he's having an amazing game. But I do feel like he's sort of stepped it up a bit than he has previously.
Yeah.
And he seems to be winning us over, I think.
Yeah, I think it was a very strange start for him because, you know, he obviously had that price tag on his shoulders and then obviously the performances in the Euros. But I think he gives us something different. I think his strength, his pace, his transition, he really can get us up the pitch quite quickly, which no one else can really do. You know, no one else can make those runs because they're not as much as an athlete as him.
Yeah, sure.
I think where he's improved is his passing has improved. And you know, he even had a shot against Palace as well, even though it was blocked. It was still, you know, he was there.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, I mean, that just comes with confidence as well.
Of course.
You know, he's starting to get to know his players. They're knowing him. They're knowing his game. They're knowing his limitations as well as what he can do. And so it's working for him, you know. Mm. It's going to be interesting, obviously, when we do get all of our players back fit to see where he fits in. But I think, you know, I'm incredibly, you know, proud of how he's managed to turn a lot of the fans around who were, like, absolutely caning him for ages.
Embarrassingly so.
Yeah, I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And it was unjustified, really.
Yeah,
and now, hopefully, you know, it would be good if he could get a goal. It'd be nice if he could get a goal.
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
You know, he's sort of... Yeah, it'd be nice.
I think as well, like you say, when everyone's back, then I don't think he's not going to be one of the first 11. But at the same time, you know, being one of the substitutes, for example, like, you know, or being there if someone is injured, people will be a lot more happier to see him in the squad as opposed to maybe four or five games ago. So, yeah, I don't think he's done himself any harm the way he's played the last few games. And if it continues like this, then what's to say that, you know, he keep his place no matter who comes back, yeah. You know?
I think he prefers it centrally as well,
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Better
yeah.
running from deep.
Absolutely, yeah, know? With the strength he's got.
And,
yeah.
And a lot of time, Poch was playing him right wing almost, and he's not a crosser of the ball, so
yeah, doesn't seem
it was like, almost yeah. like he was trying to fit him in, and so he was never really going to perform that well if he was playing out of position.
Of course,
so
yeah.
maybe he's benefiting from, from that.
Yeah, I agree.
But it was it was another gritty performance. It was, I mean, Lloris made a very good save at the end, kept us in it. But it was good. I mean, it's a tough place to go, and that was our eighth. I mean, I know I said the stat last week, but that was our eighth out of 12 away games.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just incredible.
And we've won seven of those away games. Yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, right, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's odd, isn't it? It's really odd. Obviously, it's happened because we've had to swap like games that we were meant to be at home.
Yeah.
We've swapped away, but it's just a really odd set of circumstances, isn't it? You know, to play what is it? Three quarters of the game of your first 12 games away from home. Yeah, and to be where we are.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It just shows you know how well we're doing, really.
So it was a happy day for Harry once again at Wembley yesterday, getting the winner for England against Croatia. It was it was a quality match, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good. I enjoyed it, yeah.
I mean, the most frustrating thing for me was, and you could tell from the players as well, especially the Tottenham players, is the fact that Wembley had such good atmosphere.
Where'd this come from?
We haven't seen that for ages. I mean, obviously they had it was about 78,000, I think, so, you know, they had an almost full house, like we used to have last season.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was still, it was just like, it's, you know, that's what it should be like with a lot of but I think I'm just finding that there's just seems to be this animosity against it now, and there's sort of fans just don't really want to go. I think there's a lot of fans now that are just staying away regardless. I just don't think they'll go there this season.
I mean, we're both season tickets holders, aren't we? So they're refunding us the money, aren't they, and saying you can buy a ticket for the game at Wembley. But for me, I'll go to the big ones. Obviously, I'll go to the Arsenal one and those kind of games. Obviously, I can't make the Chelsea game, but I don't know. I'm losing interest at the moment. I just want to get into our new stadium, and I think I don't think I'm the only fan that feels that at the moment. It's kind of we've been kind of messed about, haven't we? And like, I'm not one of these fans. I know that you could get upset about the way we're being treated, like the way we're getting the money filtered to us slowly. They know that we're not going to play these games here, so instead of just giving it to us in one lump sum, it's being paid slow. So I know we can get upset about that and really have like anger towards the club. But for me, I've got more important things to get upset about. So it's not something that's really upsetting me. But at the same time, I just feel that because it's been such a weird season ground wise, I don't know.
That's having a negative effect on the team, which isn't fair on them.
No, of course.
And that might, you know, hinder us.
I wonder whether players are just... I don't know if the players are fed up playing there as well. I feel we thought that we was going to be in the new stadium by now. And I think if the club had said... And they obviously didn't know about some of the problems that were going to happen. But if they'd have just said, I think, right, two seasons at Wembley, this would have... There'd be no problem.
I think
problem.
In hindsight, there'd be they no problem. Definitely would have done that now. Yeah. I think that was a massive error on their part to basically just be a little bit too cocky with their thoughts on the estimated time of it to be completed. I think that was obvious. But for me, I don't know. I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's still the same team. It's still, you know, it's still our team. It's still our players that are going out there and performing. And they need our support. They need our support probably more than ever. The fact that there's not those people turning up, you know, it's not the crowd, it's not the atmosphere, and if we carry on like this, then we're not gonna do that well, because we're doing well away from home.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, we need those home games.
Yeah,
we
sure.
need to make sure now we've got the remainder of those, like, you know, reverse fixtures, if as it were. So, you know, we've only played 4 out of 12 at home. We're gonna have more at home, and we need to make sure that we create an atmosphere worthy of, you know, supporting our team. And there seems to be loads of tickets available still for Saturday as well for the Chelsea match.
I mean, we're good at creating atmospheres. I mean, you go back to last season, there was some cracking atmospheres.
Yeah.
I don't know what would it take to kind of get that back. Maybe for the club to say, look, we're not going to be in the new stadium for the rest of the season. You'll get fans that are upset, but then maybe there'll just be this, like, right, okay, then, what, we know we're not going back now. Let's just focus on going, like, you know, supporting the club at Wembley and maybe just sort of retuning people's focus a little bit. Maybe that's what it needs.
Also, they could maybe just do a little discounted ticket.
Yeah.
You know, because they have mucked us about, as you said, whether they intended to or not, you know, we're the ones that have bore the brunt of this, you know, this basically this delay, because we've all paid for season tickets at a stadium that we haven't even sat in. Obviously we're getting the refunds, and you know, that's fine, I understand that, that's obviously what they have to do. But then also they could say, fair enough guys, you know, we have, you know, we've been a bit annoying to you this season, why don't you, you know, just a flat rate, £10 for tickets, £20 like the Chelsea game on Saturday, and then it would have sold out.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely,
you know,
right.
And people would have, like, gone there and they would have, you know, been happy with that, you know. Wembley's not an easy place to go to. Wembley's not a cheap place to drink in or eat in, you know. So you're looking at a lot of money just to go and see your team on top of paying 70 odd quid or something for the ticket.
Yeah, of course.
So just do a knock this town price, 20 quid.
You're right. It needs a gesture like that. I mean, I've seen, obviously recently there was the payment that 15 of the 20 clubs paid to Richard Scudamore, didn't they, for his bonus. Now, we was one of the clubs that paid it, but you know, you look at it and Richard Scudamore's made Premier League clubs so much money over the years, it's the least they can do. But I'm seeing Spurs fans that aren't normally upset about things like this getting really angry about it.
Yeah.
You know, you try to explain it, you know, it's obviously they've given him money back for what they've done for us, but there just seems to be this kind of resentment at the moment. And you're probably right, a gesture would probably be what the club needs to do, just to get the fans back on side again.
Yeah.
I don't think we're not upset with our team, we're not upset with the players, we're probably just upset a bit probably with the club and the way it's been dealt with, and that's kind of feeding into how we're behaving towards, like, you know, towards the stadium and stuff. But yeah, I think that's a good point.
It's just some show of appreciation of what we are going through because of what has happened, basically. You know,
sure,
it's all well and good saying, okay, we know we're going to credit you back the refund, whatever, of your money, and you know, that's it, you know, we're sorry. But you know, I mean, they made Southampton a category B match, price-wise. It's like, just put it like a cup game, you know, just get the crowds in, we need the support.
It's almost like a catch-22 situation, isn't it? Because you're not wanting to pay the money because you know it's going to be a poor atmosphere, and so you're not going, and it ends up being a poor atmosphere, you know. So it kind of, it's like a vicious circle, isn't it? It probably, like you say, if they made it a category C, or even like you say, £10-15 a ticket, they will probably sell out even for the Southampton game, because if people are, you know, that's what it's going to cost. And if Spurs perform, which I'm sure they will, and it'll be a cracking game, then it gets the fans on side for the rest of the season, doesn't it?
Fingers crossed. But yeah, hopefully, good atmosphere. If you're going to the game, please sing up, everybody, because we need your support, and hopefully it's a good house. This evening, we asked people on our Facebook group if there was anything that they would like us to discuss here on the show. And we have Philip Elliott, who has asked us to talk about Jan and what is his latest situation. So obviously we believe that he is still due to be returning in December. But it's actually quite an interesting topic of discussion because, I mean, God, the injuries that we've had this season have been ridiculous. Trippier is now out. Sanchez was also out, which is why Foyt played the other day. I can't remember a season that up to this point, having how many other games, 12 league games, to have had the injuries that we've had. It's only been, it's only been Harry and a couple of others, Toby, that actually haven't been injured yet. So it's like, you know, it's incredible.
Well, we had at one point, didn't we? We had like five players that were just walking to the first 11 out at one point, you know? So we have been really suffering. But for me, Jan's a big one. And I feel that, Not only is this fantastic centre back, but I think Sanchez has suffered because of his injury. Because I think him and Vertonghen and Sanchez last season worked really well together. And you know, I'm not taking anything away from Sanchez, but you know, we spoke about it earlier. He's a young player, and being next to Jan really kind of helped him settle into the team, and kind of, you know, just like he settled into the Premier League, not just into our club.
Yeah.
So for me, like, you know, it's a bit of a sickener him being out for a few months, but Sanchez is, I think his form suffered because of it as well.
I mean Sanchez is better in a three. I think we've already said that on the show. I think he does when there's more pressure on him in a two, he does struggle. But I think also Jan is the left-sided centre-back, and so when Jan's out, then someone has to cover that left side. And it's obviously not the same as like a right-back covering the left-back, but it's still a slightly different position for them. And then when they are covering a defender down the line, it is different for them.
Toby's
moved over, and then Foyt has come in on the right-hand side, Sanchez. So it's Toby's the one who's a little bit out of position. And I think we also just miss his experience. I know obviously Toby is experienced, but I think there's been times this season where you just looked around and the players have looked around after conceding a goal from set piece, and everyone's like, what was going on there? And I think if Jan was in the team, it wouldn't have happened.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we spoke about experience earlier, didn't we? And you know, you can play well without the experience, but Jan's got, you know, what is he, 31 now? He's got years and years of not just Premier League experience, playing football, you know, and that counts for something. And he does have those kind of leadership qualities, doesn't he, on the pitch as well? And I know he's not our club captain, but you could easily see him be our club captain, can't you? You know, he's 100%. That kind of player, isn't he? So, yeah, it's a big miss. But like you say, it's been strange. And whether it's linked to, you know, the short pre-season we had, it's just we're having too many injuries for this time of season. It's odd, isn't it? Really odd.
So fingers crossed they all come back for the right time, you know, the sort of the crucial end of the season.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, you know, we're doing all right at the moment, aren't we? And, you know, without these players. Yeah. So if they come back and, you know, kind of improve the squad, then it's a brilliant thing, isn't it?
So, I mean, you touched on how well we're doing this season. It is incredible. Like I said, obviously 8 out of 12 games away from home. We're up there. We're in the top four once again. Without playing particularly well, I still can't really say there has been one particular league game that I thought we have dominated throughout, not at all. I think the Man United game, obviously second half we did well, but we sort of almost benefited from a team not playing very well and defensively a little bit suspect at the back. Fulham game at home, we played okay, but, you know, Huddersfield away maybe, but, you know, not the same sort of like domination that we've had in previous seasons where we've literally just taken teams to town. When we went to the PSV game, me and my friend Brian has been on the show, we were playing Tottenham Chop Trumps on the Eurostar out to Amsterdam. And it was this one, it was the 2016-2017 season. So it was the one where we literally beat Leicester like 7-1 or something ridiculous like that. Yeah. And so some of the things like amount of goals in the match, and like, you know, there was probably about 15 games where we scored like, you know, four or more, and it's like, you know, we're not getting anywhere near that.
Yeah, I looked at our previous season to see how well we're doing. I think this is like our second best Premier League start after this amount of games, but that season our goal difference at the end of the season was something like plus 64 or something, which you compare it to seasons gone by, it's just ridiculous. That's just not Spurs. We don't end up with that kind of goal difference, do we? And it's like you say, we were destroying teams, weren't we? I feel like there's glimpses of it. We're getting like kind of patches where we're playing, but there's not been a game, has there, where we've just been ourselves for the entire game. And surely that's going to come. And you know, if we're winning the majority of our games now by kind of, I wouldn't say struggling through them, but we're grinding out results, aren't we? Yeah, let's do that now, and then when we get the players back, hopefully we can get that form back and see the Spurs we know and love. And we're in a great position now, aren't we? You know, we've found ourselves in this kind of position, and hopefully, like, you know, we can kind of really kick on with players coming back and, you know, getting that form that we know we can produce.
Well, they do say, obviously it's a massive cliche, but they do say, you know, if you can win and not playing very well, it's a sign of a team that, you know,
Title-winning form. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know,
I just feel like Man City are just too good. That's the problem. I think you take Man City out of it, and I feel like we could possibly be thinking about challenging for the title. I'm not saying we'd win it, but I feel like we'd give it a good go. But Man City are just they're tearing teams apart, aren't they? And they just seem to be doing it for the last couple of seasons, don't they? They just seem to be on a different level at the moment.
I think they are on a different level. Yeah. I actually was expecting more from Liverpool this season. I thought they were going to be doing similar, but I think they're not looking like the team I thought they could be. Obviously, they're defensively more sound, so in terms of the amount of points they're going to amass, they'll be up there. I think they will finish second, but I thought they were going to be better going forward than they have been.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, like I say, take Man City out and you could see us challenging Liverpool, couldn't you, for like that, you know, for the title, but... Yeah, I think Man City are just gonna just tear the league apart again like they did last season, unfortunately.
So it's time to talk matches this week, and we've got two before our next show. Firstly, we've got Chelsea. Massive game.
Mm.
Massive, massive game. Mm. Last season, the reverse fixture was so frustrating because we played quite well, and it was one of the early matches. And obviously, you know, Alonso scored that very, very good free kick. And then the whole Lloris mistake at the end there. We redeemed ourselves, though, going to Stamford Bridge and, you know, knocking them out, literally, with some amazing goals. That Ali passed, the Dyer
pass.
Ali, one of my favourite goals of last season, if not my favourite.
The touch was just awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely best brilliant. Touch, yeah. They're an interesting prospect this year, aren't they, at Chelsea? Sort of, Sarri's come in and he's changed the way they play. They're a little bit more defensive. Mm. They've got a lot more possession, but they still... They're not threatening as much as they would like, I would have thought. I think they rely a hell of a lot on Hazard.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
And so, you know, I think if we can keep him quiet somehow, then I think we're in with a chance.
Yeah, yeah. Like you say, you take Hazard out of that team and, you know, you're always going to back yourself, aren't you? Yeah. But he's just a world-class player, isn't he? You know, and he can just change a game, can't he? It's a bit like with the Palace game. I mean, I was just glad Zaha weren't playing because I'm not saying Zaha's, you know, on the same level as Hazard, but he's one of their match winners, isn't he? You know, they can just pull something out of the hat. So, yeah, it's going to be a really tough one. I mean, I know you're going to probably ask for predictions, but
that's what we do every week. I don't know why I'm not. You know.
But I just
2-1.
But I feel like if we can get away with a draw, I know that sounds really pessimistic, but I don't know if it's just playing Chelsea and the sort of historical, you know, going back over the last few years. I mean, like you say about that game last season, that was our first game at Wembley, wasn't it?
Mm.
And it's funny actually thinking back because we lost, didn't we? But there wasn't like, it wasn't like no one turned up to the next game, you know. People, we still had that kind of enthusiasm, didn't we? You know, so it tells you a lot, doesn't it, about this season. But yeah, I remember they sort of left the flag, didn't they, on the seat, and it was a great atmosphere. And it was a shame how it ended.
A messy, messy day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we were in the pub till close. I know, actually, I think we might have got kicked out for shouting during the pub quiz. I think we actually tried to play the pub quiz badly, really, really badly. Because I think it was a Sunday. I can't remember. Yeah. Anyway, I'm obviously going to ask you predictions. So you're going to go 1-1 then?
I'm sensing
a 1-1.
I'd love us to win. But I just get the feeling if we can come away with 1-1, I wouldn't be too disappointed. I genuinely wouldn't. That's fair enough.
I really think it's an opportunity to, like, you know, state our case. I mean, really, you know, these are the games. These are the games.
No, of course, absolutely. And you know, you looked last season, didn't you? I mean, the big teams obviously taking Chelsea away at Wembley. We had some cracking results, didn't we? You know, we walloped Liverpool, didn't we? And we beat Arsenal and Man United, that quick goal. So we're more than capable of it. And, you know, like you say as well, last season we sort of broke that hoodoo, the Stamford Bridge hoodoo. So there shouldn't be any reason to fear them.
Mm.
I just, for me, it's just that whenever I hear Chelsea, my brain just says, yeah, this is going to be a tough one. And please don't lose, you know. So I guess that's where it's coming from. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if we can win and make a statement, then maybe that's what will finally set the form alight for us, you know.
It's going to take something like that, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take something like that. It'll be interesting to see if all of our players are fit. Who's he going to start, you know, moving forward again? It's like we had that discussion the other day. It's a real interesting one. It's a real conundrum for him.
Mm.
I literally am going to say 2-1. I know it's a condition, and I have spoke to my GP about it, and he's given me
your medication.
He's given me these pills. You know, I tend not to do it when I'm outside the house now. 2-1, but
could be really awkward.
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, you know, the problem is at the moment I just don't see. Against a decent team, I think us keeping a clean sheet, but you never know. Lloris might have a blinder.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
But I do see us scoring. I see us scoring against anyone. I really do. I think we're in good form. I like Ali coming back. I think we really do miss him. And I'm not his massive fan in terms of his sort of like productivity levels in the past, but statistically he's amazing.
Mm.
And he just, for me, he's just frustrating because I think he's got so much talent and he just doesn't use it enough. Mm. And sometimes when the ball comes to him on the break or something, he slows it down. But he's, you know, he rarely gives the ball away, and he spots the pass.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah.
So he's massively influential, I think. Him and Eriksen are the key when it comes to Kane getting those goals. I think obviously Son can step up and score. Moura early in the season was also looking like he might be that player. I think he needs to step up with another couple of goals. I think Moura add that to his game. But I think, for me, if Eriksen and Ali are buzzing, then we are definitely in with a chance, because I think they are their top draw.
I think with us as well, I think probably under Poch, but we just seem to be... I feel like with Spurs nowadays, I mean, probably go back 10 years, like, you know, we let in a goal, this is going to be embarrassing. But I always feel now with us that we're always in with a chance, even if we go behind.
Yeah.
Because we have got so much in the locker, haven't we, with the attacking players we've got. You never feel like you're out of it.
Yeah, well, even against Man City at home, you know, we were playing the best team in potentially Europe, and we almost got a draw, and we probably should have if Lamella had taken that chance.
Course,
you know, the pitch wasn't the best, but still, you know, we created chances against them, and we restricted them and made some good saves. You're always going to, your keeper's going to have to step up, and you know, I like Lloris in that fact that he is a shot stopper. So if we concede chances, you're hoping that he's going to save them. But the issue is, you know, the mistakes that he's made. So, but the last couple of games, he seems to have done okay. So fingers crossed, he's got it out of him. All the alcohol's out of the system. So now on to the Inter Milan game next week. It's going to be very, very crucial for both teams. It's almost like a must-win game. I mean, it's definitely a must-win game for us.
Oh, absolutely,
Not as much for them. They could still technically lose and still qualify in second. What kind of game do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's going to... You can see him putting his full strength squad out, you know. But yeah, I can see us winning it. I can see us winning it. You know, it's one of them. On paper, we can beat them, can't we? I know it's Inter Milan, but again, it's probably like what I say, going back to Chelsea. You know, you think Inter Milan, this is going to be a tough game, but yeah,
we've got such a tough draw. Like if you've seen the other people in pot four, or pot D, whatever it's called, like it's
I hate saying it, but it was the group of death, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The hardest of the four pots, I think, we got, didn't we?
Yeah.
But yeah, we spoke about it earlier, it's a slim chance, and if we win on Wednesday, then it keeps our slim chance alive, you know? So, yeah, I can see him going for it. I mean, we spoke about the England game, didn't we? And, you know, it looked like we was out with that one, and then Harry Kane pops up. So when you've got that in your locker, then...
That's quite good, actually, referring to the England game. I think... The players that have played in that game, they are going to be on a bit of a buzz because it was a great atmosphere at Wembley.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And obviously coming back in any game is great.
And you can see what it meant to them, can't you, as well? Because I feel like it's a masterstroke what they've done, making these friendlies not so meaningless anymore, because you can see at the end of the game, it was almost like they'd won a cup, you know, the way there was all sort of, the camera was panning around and stuff. So, yeah, hopefully that kind of, what they've got from that, they'll take to our next couple of games.
It was crazy the way you can be in it. Obviously, there's three teams in the league, but you know, you can be in a position where one goal, you go from relegation to promotion.
Yeah, because
it's mental.
It was on head to head, wasn't it? When we equalised, it was like if we don't score, we get relegated. If we do score, we win the group.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's great. What an interesting competition.
Maybe the champions. Maybe this group will finish something like that. You know, we'll score last minute goal to qualify.
So predictions for Inter Milan then?
Yeah, it probably I can see us conceding again. But again, I think we'll win it. I can see a 3-1.
See a
3-1. Yeah.
I think I'm going to join you on 2-1, actually, yeah. I think that's a juicy scoreline. Like it a lot. Fantastic. Nice work. Okay, well, that's it from us once again. Matt, you're a legend for coming on.
No worries.
Love your company. So thanks so much for watching and listening, everybody. Please do keep those comments flying in. If you want to, also let us know if you have any comments on what we've been speaking about, if you've got a reason why you're not going to Wembley, if you think that the fans aren't going to Wembley for some strange reason, then please do let us know. We're always interested to hear your views, and we appreciate your support. If you'd like to come and leave a comment, or if you'd like to share, we are on YouTube, where you might be watching us now, as well as listening to us. We're on Facebook. The Thing I Love Most Show on Facebook and on Instagram. We are on TTILM Show, and we're also on Twitter as well. So please do make sure you're sharing and subscribing on all our social media. And like I said, if you do want to get involved in the show, there's space on this sofa to come and join us. So feel free. We'll see you next time, guys. Two games this week. Come on. Come on, you Spurs.